Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the EIT Berry Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Nitin.
Thanks, Ali. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to EIT Berry's Q1 FY23 post-earnings post-results earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. On the call today, we have representing EIT Berry management, Mr. Suresh, Managing Director, Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Berry Sugar Refinery Private Limited, Mr. A. Sridhar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Biswamohan Rath, Company Secretary. I'll hand over the floor now to the EIT Berry management team for making the opening comments, and we will open the floor for question and answers. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Suresh here. Thanks for joining us in this call. It gives me pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global and Indian scenario on sugar, and also give some details on the Q1 performance of the company. On the global front, Brazil expected to increase the sugar production thanks to the lower ethanol diversion and also the record Indian and Thailand exports. Global sugar prices continue to remain under pressure. Weakening Brazilian currency, elevated crude oil prices, and also inflation levels render a bearish outlook to the overall global sugar prices. On the demand side, due to higher prices in the U.S. domestic market, the U.S. is slated to capitalize on the lower global prices and continue to ride on the import momentum. The larger than the expected hot and dry weather in Europe affecting the wheat crop is protecting the sugar prices from a steep fall. Overall, the global prices are expected to be under pressure. As far as the Indian domestic sugar industry is concerned, the country is expected to produce a record high levels of sugar, almost 36 lakh metric tons, 36 million tons, despite a record high diversion to ethanol, which is expected to be around 3.4 million tons. The country also has seen a record highest export volumes during the current season. Already 10 million tons has got exported. The recent government announcement on sanctioning additional export volumes over and above this is also going to augur well as the closing stocks might come down as the sugar season closes. This might augur well for the domestic prices. Of course, we have to keep in mind the industry is bracing for a record highest production again during the next season also. As far as the ethanol blending program is concerned, the oil marketing companies have listed about 446 crore liters of ethanol, which translates to almost 10% of blending. The sugar industry is slated to divert almost 4.5 million tons of sugar to ethanol during the next sugar season. This would mean that the target of 20% blending by 2024-25 is definitely achievable. Regarding Q1 performance, the operating performance of the company during the quarter was significantly better than the corresponding quarter of the previous year on account of better volumes and realization in sugar, power, and distillery. The company crushed around 2.69 lakh metric tons in current quarter, that is Q1, as against 1.46 lakh metric tons of cane in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Higher power price rates helped in better profitability of the power segment. Distillery profitability has been lower due to higher fuel costs. The standalone revenue from the operations for the quarter ended 30th June 2022 was rupees 722 crore in comparison to the corresponding quarter of previous year of rupees 450 crore. Profit before depreciation, interest, and taxes and before exceptional items for the quarter was rupees 11 crore as compared to the loss of rupees 4 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 13 crore as against a loss of rupees 33 crore in the corresponding quarter of previous year. During the quarter, the sale of land and buildings in Puducherry unit and the plant and machinery in Pettavathalli factory was completed. Our Sangli distillery 120 KLPD project is going as per schedule and should be ready for commercial production by Q4 of this financial year. This is in line with the plan what we have envisaged. Now I would request our CFO, Mr. Sridhar, to explain you on the segment-wise financial performance. Over to you, Mr. Sridhar.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon to all. Happy to be a part of the analyst call and to share key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I'd like to share with you the key operating parameters of each of the segments. Starting with sugar operations, the Nelikuppam, Sankli and Haliyal crushing were carried out until middle of April 2022, and Pugalur plant operated for about 50 days during this quarter. I'd like to share the quantitative details as under. The crushing is concerned, we did about 2.69 lakh metric tons when compared to corresponding quarter of this year, which was 1.46 lakh metric tons. The recovery was 9.35% compared to last year, the corresponding quarter of previous year was 9.58%. On the production, we produced around 0.24 lakh metric tons during this quarter against corresponding quarter of previous year, which was at 0.14 lakh metric tons. On the cane cost, the overall cane landed cost was about 3,221 per metric ton, and last year corresponding period was rupees 3,100 per metric ton. The sugar sales volumes for the quarter one, we did a sales volume of 1.44 lakh metric tons, in which domestic was 99,000 metric tons and exports was 45,000 metric tons. In the previous year, it was 96,000 metric tons in total, of which domestic was 60,000 metric tons and exports was 36,000 metric tons. The average selling price of sugar was about 35 rupees 18 paise per kilogram against the previous year Q1, which was at 33 rupees 75 paise. The closing stock as of June 2022 was 1.35 lakh metric tons, and the value of that we carry in the books is about 31 rupees 50 paise per kilo. Revenue from sugar was 529 crores in current quarter against corresponding period of previous year was 345 crores. That is an increase of about 55%. There are no cane dues as of today, all FRP paid on time. As far as cogen is concerned, we generated around 869 lakh units during the quarter, and when I compare with the previous year, it was 276 lakh units, of which we exported about 584 lakh units. As a comparison with the previous year was 150 lakh units. The average rate, tariff rate was 6 rupees 93 paise per unit, as against the previous year, which was at 3 rupees 34 paise per unit. The revenue from cogen operations were at 64 crores against previous year, which was around 9 crores. On the distillery operations, we sold around 213 lakh liters. And if you have to compare it with the previous year, it was 139 lakh liters. ENA was 99 lakh liters, and ethanol was 114 lakh liters. In the previous year, the ENA was 79 lakh liters and ethanol was 60 lakh liters. The price realizations were at 57.82 per liter in the current year against the previous year, which was at 57.70 per liter. Revenue was rupees 125 crores from the distillery operations compared to rupees 82 crores in the previous year. In the Nutra segment, our turnover was rupees 13 crores as against the previous year, which was 20 crores. The reduction was on account of reduced production at the factory due to inclement weather. At the consolidated level, which includes the US operations, the Nutra business turnover was rupees 64 crores as against corresponding previous year, which was at rupees 74 crores. On the refinery operations, the revenue was 764 crores against the previous year, which was 220 crores. PBT was a loss of rupees 6.32 crores as against the previous year, which was at 21.29 crores. The refined sugar production was 2.25 lakh metric tons as against the previous year, which was at 1.97 lakh metric tons. The refined sugar sales was at 2.02 lakh metric tons, and the previous year figures were 0.73 lakh metric tons. And now, requesting the floor to raise any questions which we would be in a, which we will be clarifying. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratiksha Daftari from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is relating to distillery segment. If you could just explain the key reason for profitability being impacted and what was the transfer price for molasses this time versus last time?
So thanks, thanks for your question. We're just getting you the transfer price, but I think profitability was down on account of capacity utilization. We had some maintenance-related downtime across some of the distilleries. We will catch up through the rest of the year. We've completed our maintenance-related activity, and for the rest of the quarter, I think we should be back at full clip. That's perhaps why the profitability has dipped. Where is getting you the transfer price in just a second?
Yeah.
Transfer price. But did you have a follow-on question, ma'am?
No.
Okay. The team is just pulling this data out, so maybe we could move to the next question, and I will clarify that through the course of this call.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, just a small clarification. We have one-off expense of stamp duty to the extent of 10 crores. So in which segment would we classify that expense? And relating to this, sir, our other expenses have also shot up from 70 crores to 127 crores. And let's take 10 crores as one-off expense. Then also, sir, 70 crores has become 170 crore YOY. So could you explain the major components of why this expenses have increased so much? And sir, my question will be on performance of Cogen also, because in Cogen also, the volumes and the pricings were very good, as we have explained in the opening remarks, but the profitability is not as much. So if you can explain if that will be sustainable going forward, and give us some more clarity on that. Thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to clarify your first question with reference to the increase in other expenses. The stamp duty charges is a part of the other expenses, which is to the extent of about 10.5 crores. This is basically pertaining to the merger and the demerger activities which were carried out between 2011 to 2017 between Ari Sugars and the Haliyal and the Bagalkot plant. Bagalkot and Haliyal plant and subsequently the Ramdurg plant. The stamp duty charges were linked to the market determined price on the assets. So the court had determined the valuation only in the month of June 2022, and accordingly we have made a provision for the same to the extent of about 10.5 crores in the books, and the outflow of this will happen in the month of September and October.
Sir, in which segment will we classify this 10.5 crores?
Sugar segment? This will be unallocated.
Unallocated, okay.
Unallocated, yes.
And sir, there is also increase in other expenses from 70 crores to 117 crores.
I will explain you those. I mean, we are working towards improving our safety norms in each of our factories. And there are spends on account of those. And you would have noticed that the volumes have moved substantially high between the previous quarter and last year, the first quarter and this year quarter. And there is a packing and freight element on account of the movement of the goods. So there, to the extent, we have incurred almost to the extent of about 10 crores. And if we have to make a comparison between previous year and this year, there was capitalization of the distillery plant in Bagalkot, which happened on 1st of July 2021. So on a comparison basis, if we have to look at the expenditure which was incurred last year and this year, the operating costs have moved up on account of the capitalization in Bagalkot and also the capitalization of Haliyal plant 2 expansion, which happened on the commercial productions commenced from January 2022. So there are two plants which have significantly increased its volume, and the associated costs to those are the ones which are captured as incremental expenditure. In addition to that, we also have power cost which has moved up substantially during this quarter. The coal prices went up substantially. So that is one of the reasons where the costs have been higher.
That was quite helpful, sir. So would we expect that these one-off expenses, safety related as you have mentioned, these are all over or still there is some money which needs to be spent going forward?
Safety is something we are working towards improving at all the factories over a period of next 2 to 3 years. So it cannot happen overnight. So a lot of initiatives are being carried out both on the infrastructure side and also on the behavioral aspects of the employees.
Suresh, you'd like to add? Yeah, also we are looking at going for certification of OSHA's 45,000 across all the units. That will be a big shift, maybe first in the sugar, one of its kind in the sugar industry. They are going to take that lead in terms of going for certification. These things will require our infrastructure to be beefed up across the units. That will help us in the long run as a company.
So, sir, can we assume 10-15 crores for every quarter? Let's say a ballpark number will be there on these all new initiatives and the safety-related measures?
No. As far as safety-related is concerned, it could be around a crore of rupees or so, not more than that. But if you have to look at the repairs and maintenance from next quarter, you will actually make a comparison between the previous quarter and this, where the operations of Bagalkot would have been the previous year and this year it will be more or less the same. Except the Haliyal, where we capitalized on January 1st, 2022. So the incremental cost on account of that, we will see that over the period of next two quarters. And it is only in the last quarter of this year we can really see a comparison on the expenditures between the current year and the previous year.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Broadly, this will be the range going forward, 120 crores, 115 crores as compared to 70 crores. There is quite a shift from 70 crores of expense to 120 crores. That is what.
No, no, no.
We are trying to understand.
There are one-time expenditures which I explained, the stamp duty charges to the extent of about 10.5 crores.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The coal price have been higher. We should expect it to be, I mean, moderated over the next few quarters. It could get softened.
Okay.
So
If you can quickly comment on the. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. The cost could be ranging between 85-90 crores.
85. Okay. That was very helpful, sir. If you can quickly comment on the cogen segment performance and sustenance, because as we have seen that, you know, volumes and prices were quite good this quarter. If you could just comment on that.
Cogen, the volume should grow based on the increase in the availability of cane in the related crush. As far as the realization is concerned, it all depends on how the energy exchange prices prevail. We had taken advantage of the better prices during the quarter one. Maybe together we have to pray that the prices continue to remain at that level for us to perform better in cogen. Otherwise, the normal exchange rates will apply.
Okay. Have you sold through an exchange also, or we have directly sold to at the spot price?
See, there are two, three things we do. We export to the energy exchange, and there is also called as GDAM, GTAM. There are also some third-party sales wherever.
PPA.
PPA also is there. It is a portfolio of combination of different customers is what is delivering us this rate.
Okay. I'll get back in the queue for more questions, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
The first speaker had a clarification on molasses.
Molasses price. I mean, the molasses price for the current year is about 8,750 rupees, as against the previous year same period, which was at 5,550 rupees. There has been a substantial increase in the molasses price because of the market demand.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on what is the gross recovery that you have maintained now this quarter now that the Haryana plant has also shifted Pudukkottai to Haryana. What is the now gross recovery? And going forward, what kind of margin can we expect in the sugar standalone business? Because in spite of expectation of a higher recovery, but on the other side, even though gross margin has increased, but on the EBITDA margin it could not increase so much because of the higher other expenses. Where do we see ourselves in the margin front going forward?
Quarter one recoveries are from the fag end of the season. Hence, the recoveries will not be a representative recoveries normally. Practically, there are no Karnataka operations. Andhra operations also came to a grinding halt, and then we had the recoveries being lower because of the summer setting in very early. Q1 may not be a representative recovery to be compared. The season for Karnataka will start only in October. The benefit of the Pudukkottai plant going into Karnataka will start flowing in from the third quarter onwards.
Okay.
The margin should be definitely better. Yeah.
Where do you see the EBITDA margins going forward because of some safety?
If you add the last year, the EBITDA to cane crush was around 480 rupees. We should definitely be doing better than the last year numbers. Also, you should also keep in mind the recent FRP increase which the government has given. I'm sure all of us must have seen that, which should reflect around some 80-100 rupees per ton is an increase in the cane price for all the sugar units. That needs to be kept in mind when we are looking at the EBITDA margin for the future.
Sir, do we also expect any hike in ethanol prices because of the higher FRP?
Yeah, I think the government has been consistently revisiting the ethanol prices with respect to the increase in the FRPs. The price increase should come from the alcohol year starting 1st December, not before that. That's the expectation. Hopefully, government does that.
And so my last question on the refinery. Even though the coal prices were pretty high this quarter, and we have still managed to, if I'm not wrong, post a small profit in refinery business. So what changed in this quarter, and going forward, what is the outlook?
Good afternoon. Yes, we are live. Yeah, I think you have rightly pointed out the cost escalation that is coming in the form of coal. But as we discussed in the earlier calls also, our countermeasure had been basically with in terms of higher spreads that have been available during the period. And also we are in a position to source raw sugar from India vis-a-vis Brazil. So this coupled with our ability to execute the volumes as per the last quarter, so that bridged the gap on account of coal price inflation. So going forward, the second part of your question, going forward with oil softening to $90 today and possible US-Iran nuclear deal, we are hopeful that the energy prices will moderate, but we are keeping a watch on the coal prices as well.
Thank you. If I can squeeze related to this, what is our sourcing of sugar for refinery? What kind of prices? And what is the spread?
Yeah, the Indian sugar is also sold on international price basis. So it's a question of landed cost parity difference between Brazil and India, which changes from time to time depending on the market's condition. And the spreads for the first quarter had been around $50 per ton.
Okay, so it has improved earlier, which it was about 40 and 45.
Yes. In line with the cost escalation, the spreads are also moved.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Doshi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. How is traction for Fromentum in USA, and how much do we budget for sales, marketing, and doctor engagement expenses on an annual basis? And what was this number before the Fromentum launch? Why has revenue performance in Nutra been subdued? And quarter on basis, sales in standalone back to pre-COVID level. Yeah, that's all.
Hitesh Bhai, thanks for your question. So the Nutra performance is down because of in the standalone Nutra, we had some issues with regard to weather and also some administrative issues with regard to the exports that we meant to make. So that number will be made up in the Q2 from a standalone basis. So from a consolidated basis, our top line for the core business at Valensa is in line with our expectations. Fromentum is gaining steady traction. I think it's too early to give you a full overview of the entire program in terms of sales and in terms of expenses. I think we are in the build phase at this point in time. It is funded from the profits and the cash flows of the core business of Valensa. There is no additional capital infusion or funding which happens from the parent company. I think at the right time, we will expose you to the workings of that program. But we do have a steady sales traction. It is picking up. There is a growth in sales over the previous year. As described earlier in earlier calls, it is a direct-to-consumer business built on a medical equity model. So the build-out will take time. It is a disruptive new business model which we have a new team to go out and implement. So it will take time. At the right time, we will expose you to the entire workings of the business model.
Just one repeat of a question is that what are factors driving loss in distillery segment in spite of... Can I repeat my question?
Yes, please.
Hello, can you...
Yeah, please repeat your question.
What are factors driving loss in distillery segment instead of we having 125 crore top line instead of 81 crore? Why are we still losing money?
I think I answered that to the speaker earlier. In some of our distilleries, we did take downtime because of maintenance-related issues. A lot of those have been resolved, and we will catch up in the subsequent 3 quarters. We're not concerned about we will close the rest of the year with the in line with our objectives that we have taken.
Okay. And so
you'll also note that there is an angle of fuel cost as well, coal, which you know hopefully is softening a little bit, but okay. There is that angle as well. But we are working to see how we will make up for lost ground, but we're confident of doing so.
Okay. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best, Mr. and to Team EID. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question. So, assuming the current cost structure, what is the volume needed to break even in sugar segment on quarterly basis?
See, the sugar segment production happens... The crushing happens between November to March, and until then we actually use a 12-month moving average weight for the costing, and it is difficult to really arrive at a break-even on a quarterly basis, and during crushing season is where the cost gets optimized, and it is only in the third quarter and fourth quarter normally it is profitable. The first two quarters will be more of cost because the plant will not be in operation.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. I mean, see, without going in this quarterly number on nutraceutical business, we had a very high hope, I mean, to grow, I mean, reach a revenue of around 500 crore. So where do we expect those kind of a number, in what time frame, and that point of time, what are the our EBIT margin will be approximately? If you can give some color on that, that will be really helpful.
So, Bharat bhai, thanks for your question. If you look at gold standard businesses in this segment, they work with EBIT margins of about 15-odd percent, maybe slightly north of 15%. I think it's our aspiration also to move the business in that direction. I agree it has been a slow build. It's not a segment. We've been in the segment for a while, but it's quite different from the other business models or the businesses that
Correct.
We operate as a company and a group. So I think this journey has perhaps taken more time. We have invested in a number of growth initiatives. I think individual investor meetings as well, we have said this. We are taking a pause to reflect on our strategy for this segment, and it will take us a little bit more time to bring clarity to that. And I think once we do that, we will bolt on to our current growth initiatives. We'll bolt on that strategy as well. So I think we respect the fact that it has taken more time than envisaged. But that is the reality. I think we'll have to do it right and not do anything impulsively and, do anything wrong. So that's the intent. We're playing a patient game on this.
So I appreciate that, Muthu. But if you can give some color that what kind of annual growth rate that in the current, I mean, even despite taking pause, do we expect or it will stagnate for a couple of years at this level when you are saying that we have taken a pause on those initiatives?
See, the current business moves on as it is. You know, we don't give any kind of forward guidance or growth or any metrics.
Approximately, next 3 years, where do we see this business up in your aspiration?
See, I think aspirations are, always much higher, Bharat bhai. And besides, it would be wrong on my part to leave numbers here. I think it's not the right approach. I think we're more focused on building the business model.
And, Now coming to this distillery business again, without going in quarterly this thing. See, last year we had a revenue of around 500 crore, but still our EBIT margin is much is lower than the single digit. Whereas if we look at, I'm not too much aware, but if you can give some color that whereas in our distillery of sugar mill operating in North India, they have EBIT margin in the range of say 20% to 40%. So why this difference and how do we really try to bridge that gap?
So, Bharat bhai, I think, one point here is different sugar mills from different regions have a different view on transfer price of the work in progress, which is the molasses or the syrup. Perhaps if the, investor community can bring a uniformity in that, then it's easier to track everyone. But everyone, as for their accounting standards and as for what works within their own internal system, has a view on the transfer price.
Also, you should keep in mind, Suresh, also you should keep in mind one thing. The size of the distillery also will matter. We have got 248 KLPD distilleries and 165 KLPD, and another one is at 75 KLPD, and Bagalkot alone is 120 KLPD. So the transfer... Sorry, 60 KLPD.
Longly is going to be...
Longly is going to be 120 KLPD. So we have to keep the size of the display also in mind because the
optimization of cost.
Yeah, in terms of fixed cost absorption, optimization, etc. Plus, as Muthu was pointing out, the transfer pricing plays a key role in the entire thing.
But, sir, in that case, sugar profit also should reflect because it's a transfer price from sugar to distillery, then the sugar profit should go up higher, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you are saying is right. You should also keep in mind, then once again, take a comparison to the north. The north will be definitely 1% higher in recovery compared to what we are doing as a recovery as a company.
Yeah.
So that means that 1% will mean so much of rupees in terms of profit. That's what Muthu was talking about, the regional differences.
Yeah, and I think, Bharat bhai, you'll have to look at the IT Paris business as an amalgamated play between three states when you look at the EBITDA per ton with different recoveries of sugar. You've got Andhra, you've got Tamil Nadu, and you've got Karnataka. And independently, these states all look different from an EBITDA per ton perspective. And obviously, when they amalgamate, you will arrive at a certain number. It is perhaps only likely that this number would differ from a direct apple-to-apple comparison with, say, a state like UP, where uniformly the recoveries are much higher. So that's the reality that we live with.
And the last question on this sugar business. See, there are a lot of initiatives and talks are happening on to improve this sugar recovery and yield on the from the sugar cane. So a new microbiology kind of a seeds and all are... And I believe that EID is always a front fund. So what exactly we are doing to improve the yield of, recovery from the sugar cane, and what kind of initiative have we taken, and when do we expect those kind of results from?
In Karnataka, if you look at it, is already in a high recovery belt, similar to UP and Maharashtra. The places like Andhra and Tamil Nadu, we do a varietal improvement program where we only promote high sugar varieties across. It is the benefit of that we have been seeing is there is a gradual improvement in the recovery in places like Nellikuppam and Pugulu as well as in Sankri over the last 2-3 years. So this will be a slow burn. Farmers will be encouraged to plant more of high yielding, high recovery varieties. These recovery varieties should also be a high-yielding variety because the recoveries are on the range of 9.5 in the range. So people will be more benefited only when the yields are also more. So it is a complex issue. For the company, the yield also has to be more, recovery has to be more. For the farmer, yield has to be significantly higher because he is not going to get much in terms of recovery from the FRP. So taking this into account and also the local soil conditions and local other climatic conditions, we are recommending the high recovery varieties to the farmers, and accordingly the recoveries in the Tamil Nadu and the AP have started growing over a period of time, and this is going to be a slow burn.
Okay, and last question if I may squeeze.
Yes.
With this commissioning of this new distillery of dual feed, so what is the kind of ethanol that we expect to generate in number volume, if you can give some color from next year onward?
Well, our total capacity will be around 400 KLPD, roughly 410-420. You can talk about the, if you all have to be converted to ethanol, 400 into 300 will be 12 crore liters.
How much, sorry?
12 crore
liters. If all have to be making ethanol, it will be around 12 crore liters.
Okay. But sir, and one of these new refineries are dual feed, which can generate for the 12 months. So factoring also this also?
Can you come again, sir?
This is new refinery that we are installing, which is on the dual feed stock.
Yeah.
So how that will be the different from the other distillery?
The other distilleries are molasses-based distilleries.
Correct.
They will try only based on the molasses availability from the respective sugar mills. Sankri, it is in Andhra where the grain is also on availability. In the event of shortage in during the season, it will run on the cane-based molasses. Then the accumulated molasses also, the plant will run for maybe another 2-3 months. The balance 2-3 months of the year will be run based on the grain stock. So that way we can extend the distillery running to the fullest season, notwithstanding the challenges related to cane availability. In a year where cane availability is going to be low, you need not have to worry about the capacity utilization of the distillery. Whereas in molasses-based distilleries, if there is cane availability drops, then the distillery capacity utilization also will pro rata drop. That has been de-risked as far as the sample is concerned.
Okay, and thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Sheth from DFC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the refinery business. What is the refinery debt as of June 2022?
Yeah, in terms of the refinery, we have a long-term debt of 200 crores and a short-term debt of 138 crores. So totaling to 338 crores as of the quarter closing.
Okay, so short-term debt has reduced significantly during the quarter.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, and was the refinery business EBITDA positive in the quarter?
Yes, of course.
Okay, can you quantify that, please?
The EBITDA for the quarter will be around 16 crores for the refinery.
16 crores EBITDA. Okay, and then sir, this is expected to be in this range for the coming quarters, and you know, what is the outlook on the refinery business? Can throw some color?
Yeah, in terms of the major drivers, we expect continuously. Refined sugar market is very tightly balanced, and we expect therefore the spreads also to continue to remain at these levels. Of course, the question is with respect to the energy cost, which I think has been discussed earlier as well. So if other things remain same and we don't have any major macro events, we should be in a position to maintain the momentum.
Okay. And so one follow-up on the, you know, earlier in the call you mentioned that PBT of refinery was a negative 6 crores. Did I hear that figure right?
Yes.
Okay, so what is driving the difference between, is it the interest, because our debt has significantly come down during the quarter, so I'm unable to, you know, manage this.
Sorry, can you please repeat, we couldn't follow your...
So EBITDA you mentioned is 16 crore positive and PBT is 6 crore negative, and debt has significantly reduced during the quarter. So, you know, what is the gap between, is there any exception item?
Mark to market on the forex cover, what we have taken as far as the currency what we maintain for refinery business is in dollars. So the transactions what we, I mean, the Indian gross what we purchase, sometimes it will be in INR. So we do take a forward cover and the mark-to-market adjustment is what gets into the P&L.
Okay.
So to the extent of the supplies that is received by the refinery business, there is an impact in the P&L.
Okay.
On account of the mark-to-market transactions.
Okay, so this would ideally be non-cash, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, okay. So this is negative 6 crore PBT is non-cash. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Shah from Invest Savvy Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. I have a question regards to your standalone performance. We are seeing, you know, sequential basis, revenue is down somewhere close to around 22%. So I just would like to know, you know, what is the reason and what's the outlook going forward? And second, regards to your profitability also, due to rise in the expenses in this particular quarter, the profitability turned out to be a negative. So I want to know that, you know, what are the main expenses driver? It's on a raw material side, or it is something power and fuel and the other expenses? And what's your outlook going forward also on the expenses front? Thank you.
Thank you. Q4.
On a standalone basis.
Q4, if your question is Q4 versus Q1 of the current financial year, Q4 of last financial year?
No, sir. I am asking about, you know, sequential basis, quarter on quarter.
Quarter
on quarter, standalone performance on revenue and profitability.
Exports difference which has happened. You will see the quantum of exports, what we have done during the previous quarter versus this quarter. There is a significant difference in the quantum of exports. That's what is showing you the difference.
Regards to your expenses also, that is also on a higher side. So what do you say about, you know, in current quarter also and going forward outlook about your expenses, and which constitute of the expenses are there in this particular quarter that is,
yeah,
putting a pressure?
As I mentioned in the previous discussion, where the quarterly reporting cannot be seen on a previous quarter versus current quarter. It will always be between the previous year same quarter and this quarter, because the production happens only between November to March, and the cost absorption happens during those 5 months where the production is carried out. So a comparison of cost for January to March versus April to June is not the right way of looking at the P&L. It has to be compared with the previous year first quarter versus the current year first quarter, because this industry is seasonal in nature.
Okay, sir. And last question, what do you see about the outlook going forward?
Outlook going forward for?
For a standalone performance of the company.
The company has been improving its standalone performance over the years. You must have seen that. We will continue to do better than the previous years in the years to come. No doubt in that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, we understand that the distillery segment margin came a little lower because of low capacity utilization. But I was on the feel that what if the maintenance was did not happen, what kind of margin we could have made?
I mean, if the maintenance didn't happen, we couldn't have run the distillery. So, yeah. These are important maintenance activities to do to ensure smooth operation of the distillery. So, we would have had to have done the maintenance. We couldn't have deferred it.
Okay. Going forward, there is no other reason, right? We can easily put post positive profits in this new segment, right?
So yeah, I mean the we will make up this loss ground in the next three quarters. So you will, I mean, you will see that in Q2 and Q3 and Q4, you will see a more consistent distillery output. And in, okay, you know, in Q4 we look to have something coming from our new distillery as well in some case. At least we look to get it started.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you all for your questions, and wish you all good health, and we look forward to meeting you again in the subsequent quarter with hopefully a strong set of results. Thank you and good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.